I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, my sweet little lambs out there. I have an incredible super deluxe ultra treat for you this week. I'm in the middle of my current tour and I have a stopover here in London. So I went to have tea and cake in person with one of my all-time favorite beautiful creatures and premier citizen of Earth, Miss Linda Thompson. She is an icon in the world of folk rock music and has been making music since at least the year that I was born, which was 1968. For those of you that don't know, Linda was key to the 1960s British folk rock movement. She worked with a folk supergroup, Fairport Convention, and was married to its guitarist, Richard Thompson, for 10 years. They released a series of acclaimed albums together, which you should all definitely go immediately out and listen to. But their career was suspended for several years when Richard decided they should convert to Sufism and join a commune. They eventually returned to recording, and their fame continued to grow until they separated in the early 1980s. Linda developed a rare voice condition, which is called dysphonia, and you'll hear that as our conversation goes on, and she's only been able to record sporadically since.
John, darling, would you like to sit there or there? Do you want to be close to the cake or the sandwiches?
The sandwiches.
Okay.
I haven't had anything to eat today.
I'm so happy. It's nothing special, but it is.
It is. It is for me because you have my favorite there.
What?
Cheese and onion.
My favorite sandwich. That's my favorite sandwich.
Mine too.
Separated at birth.
Yeah.
And they don't do it in America, right?
No.
They're idiots.
I came over here in 1997 for the first time. I went to Tesco and got a cheese and onion sandwich. I nearly died. I thought, I've come home. That's it.
Get it down, you boy.
Yeah.
Get it down, you. Or do you want sugar?
You should never have to do a damn thing if you don't want to.
I am congenitally lazy.
Really?
Yeah. I never
Another
used to.
Another thing we have in common.
I mean, I like basically to be in bed reading, listening to music, or having a Mars bar ice cream. With a little ice bucket near the bed, with Mars bar ice creams in them. My ex-husband used to call me Fotherington Thomas, who is a character in the Billy Bunter books, and he walks around this little kid going, hello, birds, hello, trees, hello, sky. And Richard used to go, here comes fucking Fotherington Thomas. Hello, guys! Ugh.
It's funny, you know, because I've been asked several times how Linda and I met, and I couldn't remember for a while because so many things are happening all the time. I'm out on tour, you know, meeting thousands of people all the time, and I tend to forget things. And I sort of feel like she and I have known each other since I was a child. But she recently reminded me how we met, and I was doing a talk.
My friend Pamela said to me, you have to come and see John talk. I said, I don't want to. I go in here and sing. I don't need
I've
to.
I've heard people talk before.
I've heard people talk before. I know what it's like. And it was and it was such a mesmerizing talk. And then afterwards, I fell into your arms and, you know, fell in love, obviously.
Likewise.
And scribbled down words. But...
Well, you know, I listened to a song today of yours that I hadn't listened to before, and I listened to it because it was made the year that I was born. And I think it was one of the first things that you did. It's called You Ain't Going Nowhere.
You absolute idiot! Why did you listen to that? It's
well,
terrible.
I loved it.
You are so sweet.
I mean, I absolutely loved
the
it.
The year you were born.
I mean, you are like a fine motherfucking Bordeaux or Burgundy.
Oh, good.
The terroir, you know?
Ooh.
As you age, you just keep getting more and more beautiful. It's true. And your voice, I want to talk about your voice because it's so beautiful.
We should. We should talk about voice and lack thereof.
Yeah. There's a metamorphosis taking place of sorts. And I imagine that it must be fucking... I'd like to know if it drives you insane because things are different now than they were. Your voice is changing. You've got something going on with your voice that makes it so that... I mean, can you describe it?
Yeah.
Would you mind?
Yeah, not at all. When I was first diagnosed, it was called hysterical dysphonia. Now, you know where the word hysterical comes from, right?
I'm not sure.
Hyster is Greek for womb. So it means only women can be hysterical.
Right.
Which is a fucking shit show from the get-go.
Right.
And that just worried me. I thought, hysterical, that means it's only women. It means it's all in my head. Then about 10 years later, they discovered it's kind of Parkinsonian. It's neurological. And the brain sends a message to the throat that you're in danger when you use your throat. Mm. And of course, it's all to do with my background in singing and living in a Sufi commune with a load of, you know, crazy people. So anything to do with the voice, my brain goes, alarm, 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 alarm. It affects singers a lot more than I thought.
Wow.
And men too. So that happens, it's progressive. There's no cure, but it doesn't kill you. It's not like cancer or anything. But for a singer, obviously, it's a kind of death. But I think if I hadn't had it, I never would have written a song because I didn't want to write songs. I had people write songs for me.
Right.
Specifically, my ex. We'd sometimes write together, but mostly, you know, he did it. So there was that, and I mean, I know it's quite a rare thing, but I know a lot of people who have it because there's a, you know, dystonia society. And I have tremors too, but I take something to stop the tremors. But there's nothing much they can do about the voice. But listen, I'm so proud of myself that I'm doing this with you because I'm so frightened to do things like this.
But me too, by the way. He said with Victoria Sponge in his gullet,
well,
sliding
see,
down his gullet.
If you eat it, helps.
Do you mind if I tell, I want to tell everybody what you, one of the incredible things you've done, which is, you know, you've got this thing going on with your voice that makes it so that you can't sing, this dysphonia, and then you did the most incredible thing. You wrote songs for people and had them sing them.
Yes, I did. You included.
And
you're,
you did. And
yours
it's one
is
of,
the best one.
Well, it's one of the greatest gifts I've ever received. It's one of the highlights of my entire life. I'm not exaggerating or being a...
Well, for me too.
But
yeah, I've done it, and Teddy's producing it. We've both lost interest, I have to tell you, which happens. Where I'm not good at seeing things through. Are you? Yes, because even in your downtime, you're doing stuff like this. I'd be, like, sleeping.
I have people that kick me, you know? When I listen to you, I think this person was paying attention in 1968. That's what I think.
It's funny, I can't remember it so much, and I've always, as you and I know, in English, amateur is a pejorative term. Mm-hmm. But of course it means love and work.
Yes.
So
I just learned that like 3 days ago,
by
the way.
Are you kidding?
No.
So that's all it means.
It's a beautiful word.
Work. So I've never, and this is the truth that sounds odd, I've never worked for money. I've only ever made money on other things. And I've never, and it all, we just sort of did it for fun. There wasn't so much business involved then.
Yeah.
And I did feel like an amateur. because I, you know, I didn't feel as professional as my ex-husband or all the people in the band that would say, let's jam, and I'd say, let's not.
You and I are kindred spirits because you're describing
save it for the show.
You're describing me.
Let's
as well.
Save it for the show. Let's rehearse. No, let's not. So I like them. I think music should be on a need to know basis. You know, you should just.
That's very good.
You should be able to, it's like the CIA. You should just be able to, you know, if you've rehearsed it 4,000 times, what have you got left?
Yeah.
And
it's true.
And there's all these singers that sing it the same.
Yeah.
Every night. Yeah. That's why I could never mime. Can you mime? I can't mime because I sing it different every time. So I absolutely can't mime.
And that don't even make no sense to me neither.
It doesn't make sense.
You know, I mean, I guess if the number's right, I'll mime something, but you're not going to like it.
I think I'm going to just skip to the cake.
Yeah. Smart. I go up to Barrowlands.
So for all you sweet lambs out there listening today, the Barrowlands is a legendary venue in Glasgow.
I've been trying to play there for 20 fucking years.
You've never played there
I've
before.
Never played Barrowlands, and it's a travesty. All I ever hear about is Barrowlands this, Barrowlands that. And
Fantastic
I was supposed to play there 20 years ago with David Gray. He chose us, my old band, the Czars, to open up for him, which he regretted immediately after seeing us actually perform. And we were supposed to play at the Barrowlands, and it was canceled because he was sick that night. So we walked into the place, saw the place, and they, you know, then they were like, the rug, you know.
It's been going for so long, and it used to be so dangerous.
Yeah.
But it's all cleaned up now, I guess.
But boy, did I get the welcome of a lifetime, because there was a woman there named Rochelle, who apparently is a big fan, and because of what she does for a living, she's a promoter, and every time I'm in town, she's putting on a show somewhere else. So this time, she was there, and she made me fresh homemade shortbread.
Ah!
And I swear to you, on whatever I have to swear on that means something to someone, that never in my life have I tasted shortbread that delicious.
Did it melt?
It melted. It was thick and huge.
Just
dissolved into nothing. It was as light as a feather.
But I'm glad you love Barrowland. Scottish audiences.
I mean, seriously, Scottish and
Newcastle audiences. Irish audiences.
Yeah.
Who else?
But that's a tricky one because you're in Gateshead and they force you to say that there. They, you know, it's a hostage situation where you have to say the word Gateshead, otherwise you're, you know, shown from the premises.
Oh, yes, that's right. You can't say Newcastle.
And they have it written on the door before you walk on stage. You are in Gateshead, motherfucker.
That
you know?
Is too funny.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
That's too funny. What's fantastic about Newcastle is the same as Glasgow. They all fucking hate each other. Glasgow and Edinburgh, they hate each other.
Yes.
My brother lives in Glasgow, and he's like, Edinburgh, terrible, terrible place. Terrible place. And I go, no, it's not a terrible place.
You went up there at the age of 6, did you not? From London.
5 or 6?
Mm-hmm.
My mother was Glaswegian.
May I put this here?
You may do anything.
But I want to go perform in Bern. I hear Bern is exquisitely
Bern is
beautiful.
Nice. I don't, you know, Swiss audiences. They sort of go like that. Then at the end, they go quite mad. But during the set, you think, I don't think they like this. Last time I played a festival in Switzerland, they were literally all eating muesli. And I said, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. They should be taking drugs and lying in the gutter. No, muesli. Yeah.
Acid was created in a lab in either Switzerland or Austria.
Oh,
it could be Austria.
All the drugs are created in Switzerland, but they're not daft. They don't take them.
Yeah.
They export them.
Exactly.
They're not stupid. They export them to Michigan.
Oh, my God.
Wherever, you know.
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Is that bad, Las Vegas?
I do love it, but I love it for different reasons.
I love it, too. Nobody will go with me.
I'll go with you.
Oh, thank you. I went to the opening night of Celine Dion, and I just had to go because she does have a kind of otherworldly voice, doesn't she? It's otherworldly.
Yeah. There's no question.
So they have these screens all over, showing the audience, and the screens are going round, and I thought, Oh, look at that archetypal Las Vegas woman, fat, stuffing popcorn in her mouth with shorts on. It was me. Looking up there thinking, oh, that is tragic. And wait!
On the Jumbotron?
On the Jumbotron. And then she did the set and it was, you know, interesting and blah, blah, blah. But she sang one good song. And it was a Canadian folk song that she sang in French. And after two bars, the whole room went frozen. She lost everybody.
Really?
She lost everybody because, first of all, it was in French.
Yeah.
Second of all, it was a good song. It was a folk song. Everybody, I've never seen a room go so cold. So she quickly wrapped that up and said, you know, Titanic, whatever it is, you
yeah,
know,
exactly.
I will go on. She went straight into that.
I agree with you about her. There's a book that I want to give to you that's... Do you know this little series that's called 33 and a Third? And each one of them, it's a little tiny little book, and each one of them is about the making of a specific record.
No.
You're going to love this, because there's one about Celine Dion, written by somebody that hates her, talking about what taste means. And if he has a right to have this opinion.
Well, that was my premise exactly.
Yes.
I didn't like her. And people said, hang on a second, you don't like her that much. You're going from Earl's Court to Vegas to see the show. I said, oh, yes, absolutely. Of course I am. You know, I'm very fascinated by sincerity because I don't really have it very much. So I'm, well...
That surprises me you'd say that because I feel extreme sincerity coming from you.
Well, maybe on certain... I'm not trying to backtrack now. Maybe in certain things I'm saying... But that sort of sincerity on stage...
Yeah.
I'm always thinking, when is the curry? When are we getting the curry? Will that be... In three songs or four
exactly.
songs? Well, I try not to think like that. But I love sincerity. So I love the fact that she so patently believes everything. She believes everything. You know, she's sort of... I love the fact that she's making $8 million a minute. That's the most extraordinary thing.
It's amazing. And she does...
She doesn't spend any of it on cake. I can tell you that for nothing.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Didn't we have a conversation in Spanish last time we met? And your Spanish was very different from mine.
Yeah.
Isn't your Spanish Catalan?
Not according to the people in Spain. They laugh at me and say, oh, my God, you're a peasant from Mexico. Whenever I talk to somebody from Mexico, they say, oh, you learned your Spanish in Spain. So neither of them will have me. I've been, you know, banished to South America.
It's kind of like Paris, where you speak to them in French and they go, quoi? And you know perfectly well they understand what you're saying, but they will not speak to you in French.
Yeah.
They will not speak to you in French.
I bet they'll speak to you in French.
Well, I don't know.
Because your French is great.
My French is good. I bet it's not as good as yours, though. This is the thing that worries me. It keeps me up at night.
I would be really great at French, and I would speak it well if I would go there. And I'm trying to figure out a time to go and spend a month there. You don't want to do that together, do you?
Yeah.
And just do French every day? Like
In fact, a friend of mine emailed me today, and I said, are you still in your flat in Antibes?
Yeah.
Antibes is lovely. I love Antibes.
I've got
two flats now. So he said, one of them I rent out. So we should do that.
We could repair to Lugano. It's funny because, you know, like when I went to Lugano the first time, I was like, you got to be shitting me. People live like this? You know, it's like, it looks like a painting.
Yeah, it does.
And then going to Kiev for the first time and thinking, holy shit, people live like this. It looked like a different type of painting, maybe some modern expressionism or Pollock, you know.
The thing about Switzerland, after 6 months, you die of boredom.
Yeah, that's what they say,
just
too.
Just pops away.
Even
one
they
day
say
they
that.
Find you.
Exactly.
With a cuckoo clock on your lap. And you've died because it's so boring.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah, grammar is my favorite thing. So when I went to Kiev, I was just this American boy who was just starting to get used to the German system, and I was not prepared. I mean, my sister and I have discovered that we were not prepared for anything, literally nothing.
But you obviously were, because you learned all these languages now.
I mean, I was too ignorant to stay home, you know? I was too ignorant to know not to go out there, so that...
Yeah, but if we're talking about grammar, is there any grammar more difficult than German grammar?
Yes, so much more difficult.
Who?
Finnish. 15 cases.
I'm not talking about languages nobody ever speaks.
You're not talking about all the dead... You're not talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls, right? Well, Icelandic has proven to be the humbling of a lifetime. The hobbling, the mental hobbling and humbling
What's
of a lifetime.
What's it like? Is it like anything?
It is. It's Germanic. It's so Germanic that it makes you think that your German must be able to help you.
But it doesn't.
But it just, it doesn't really. I mean, because...
Fiendish.
You know,
fiendish.
It's fiendish. Because you have, for example, the word, the thing that really fucks you up. And it's like, you know, trying to learn Bulgarian. I thought I was going to learn Bulgarian when I was young. You know, and my Russian teacher was like, no, you're not.
Too hard?
No, it's the stress. The words are all practically the same, but the stress is different on each one of them. So,
like Mandarin.
Yeah, so, well, different,
no.
Because in Mandarin you have the tonal problem.
Oh, the tonal.
The tones.
Yes.
And in Mandarin you have apparently 4 or 5 tones, tone levels, and then in Cantonese they have 8 or 9 tones. And luckily, we don't have to fight with that problem, but you and I would be fine because we have this musical ear that we can use to, which helps us. We
it
have
does
that built
help
in.
Us, except my accent on things is quite good, so people assume
yes.
that after my first 2 sentences in Dutch that I can talk to them,
yeah.
But I can't.
No, it just gets you into trouble, right?
All I can say is, can I have a cream cake?
Ooh.
And thank you.
So the most important things.
So, you know, I've got my priorities straight, exactly. At least.
Or do you have your Amex with you, darling? When I met you, I fell into your arms as well. We fell into each other's arms because I wanted to thank you for Teddy.
Teddy Thompson, owner of the best name and voice, for that matter, and personality, is Linda's son and a phenomenal musician who's been opening for me on tour.
And I wanted to meet, you know, I was like, got to meet the woman who produced this, you know.
He was telling me about his tragic childhood, which I have to hear all the time and go, I'm so sorry, darling. I'm really, really sorry. He goes, no, it's okay. But then you went to Cairo for 2 months. I'm so sorry, sweetheart.
People do seem to escape to Cairo quite often. I wonder, does
Fantastic
it work?
Fantastic town.
Is it?
Fantastic. Only bettered by Istanbul. Istanbul is a fantastic town to escape to because you've got Europe here,
yeah.
You've got Asia, a boat ride away,
right.
And you can just take a felucca and go back and forth. Chinese, Arab, Chinese, you know, the whole juxtaposition is fantastic.
And the food's off the hook
off
in Turkey.
Well, I was going to say that, but I didn't like to be too greedy. Food's
well,
off the
I
hook.
Mean, come on, you know, and I'm really into the hairy men, too. So, I mean, Turkey's a no-brainer for me.
Oh, my God, those guys.
Ridiculous. The eyebrows. You've got the Colin Farrells going on
they've
here.
They've got the whole... The, you know, who's that? Like, they've got the Frida Kahlo thing going on. Very, very, very nice.
You Sign
do,
me up.
You do get food poisoning, but never mind.
Yeah, yeah. But we've been through that.
Istanbul's
We have
fantastic.
The intestinal fortitude for Istanbul.
Boy, I've got intestinal... When I'm in India, I eat on the streets and I actually have people shouting out of taxis going by, don't eat on the streets, you'll die. And I'm like shoveling chapatis into my mouth. I come back from India and people say, you've put on weight?
How did you do that?
People get dysentery in India. They come back looking as if they're about to die. I go, really? I feel just fine.
Intestinal fortitude.
Intestinal fortitude.
I wrote a lyric about you today, actually.
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to die happy
on the way
in my
here.
Sleep tonight.
On the way here. It goes, I don't know where you've been or how I got here, but I'm glad we did.
It encapsulates everything.
I don't know you where
don't
you've been
anymore.
Or how I got here.
You don't need to write anymore.
But I'm glad we did.
You could have put Victoria Sponge in there somewhere, well, but no, there's still time.
I mean, there's going to be three or four
there's
verses.
There's still time.
Exactly.
There's still time, you know.
But I mean, isn't that a... I mean, I've seriously, I don't know where the fuck you've been. You've been everywhere. And you've done all these incredible things. And you're, you know, when you get faced with this thing with your voice, you know, like, you do that thing that you learned, which is getting on with it. You're like, well, why shouldn't I lose my voice? Or why shouldn't I have, you know, this
Absolutely.
Dysphonia or whatever? I mean, that's when I go to the doctor. You know, when somebody tells, or when they told me that I had HIV, it was like, yeah, well, of course I do. Because you never gave a shit about yourself enough to avoid getting into this situation, which you easily could have avoided if you had had a chance at giving a fuck about yourself.
Yeah.
But you didn't. And so, of course, you're getting this diagnosis. And so it was the time where I was like, no, you're not going to go try and get attention from mommy now or daddy. My mom was dead already by that time. But, you know, it's like, no, this is the time where we start. I'm being given a chance to take responsibility for myself.
Exactly. And there's a certain, I believe, there's a certain type of person who gets an unseen illness. You know, there's a certain... All my most interesting friends aren't ill that you can see, but they're ill. They're sick in some way. And it's interesting how that happens because you have to sort of keep it to yourself because it's not like you're walking around, you know, like, well, actually, I am walking around like this. completely crippled.
See,
love.
If I had done what you just did, I'd have thrown my back out. So that's just impressive. You and I have something very special. I didn't need to go and read your biography because I fell in love with you just by seeing how you are in front of me. You know what I mean? I got lucky because it would be easy for somebody like me to feel intimidated by somebody like you. But I've never felt that with you.
Now,
and that's a gift.
So how long are you here for?
I'm here for a week.
Oh, you're not going to go back to Reykjavik or anything?
No. It's not worth it.
And who did you want me to get in touch with that I've forgotten?
Beverly D'Angelo.
She fucking hasn't emailed me back.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I mean,
it's
she
okay.
often doesn't do that.
Yeah.
But if you come to L.A., you'll meet her.
Yeah.
We'll just go to her house.
I want to go to L.A. with you.
But she's great. You would love her.
No question.
And she's another one. I said to her, I'm such an admirer of your work. And she goes, why? She thinks she's rubbish.
Yeah. I believe it.
She just thinks she's rubbish, and she's so good.
She's so good. I mean, she was also in The Pterodactyl Woman of Beverly Hills.
Yes, I didn't see that.
Yeah. I don't think anyone did, but it's certainly on my list of things to worship. I mean, you should see her in the getup, in the pterodactyl outfit. It's incredible. But her turn, the reason that I had asked Linda, I am now speaking to Pez and Rachel, who are helping us here, was because she's in my personal favorite version of Streetcar Named Desire, which was on television in the 80s.
Actually, you're right. That was fantastic.
It was really good.
And I'm
a big Treat Williams fan.
Treat Williams.
Me too. I mean, he's
Treat Williams still alive?
Yes.
Is he, 180?
I don't
age?
Know, but he looks great. I'd still hit that for sure. Like, straight
you
up.
You can't be his old man because what you don't know, and I'll tell you now, because I live with an old man, your scrotum gets huge and the penis shrinks.
Right.
And women are worse, you know.
More to look forward to.
Saggy and, oh.
Yeah. I'd still get up on that, though. Because, you know, because Treat was the Colin Farrell of his day. Treat was the Colin Farrell.
Are you into Colin Farrell now?
I've always been into Colin Farrell. As soon as he showed up on the scene, but it was because of Treat Williams. It's those big, beautiful, bushy black eyebrows, and those classic good looks. I mean, it's Clark Gable.
Have you
Treat
seen
Williams.
His new show? He's doing
no, but I hear it's good.
It's very.
Is
good.
Is it North something?
It's something about a whaling ship.
Yes.
It's very good. And
yes.
He's so... When a film star's in a telly thing,
the
whole thing is elevated. He underplays beautifully because he's a cinematic actor. And he throws his bits away in such a way that you can't look at anybody but him.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And he looks fantastic, completely grizzled and...
I mean,
he looks fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it's like he was designed for me.
Do you not drink anymore?
I don't drink, no.
Oh, you don't drink?
17 years, no.
17 years, that's yeah. What you're sober from. Not from...
Well, can... sober from coke and...
Yeah.
And booze.
And booze.
I mean, coke was a really quick downward, very, very steep slope for me.
Really?
I mean, yeah, it made me really horny and suicidal.
It does, yeah. Great combo.
Great combo. Great for getting
you
HIV.
You have to make love to lemmings. It's very, very difficult.
Ladies and gentlemen.
But, I never got hooked on coke because I only, if somebody gave it to me, I'd take it. Yeah. I wasn't going to buy it. It was really expensive.
Yeah.
So
I didn't want to buy it either. I had a coke dealer living with me who would steal my money and help me look for it.
I love that trick. I steal my husband's disgusting old socks and underwear and chuck them out. Then I help him look for them. He goes, darling, have you seen my underwear? And I go, no, but I'll help you look. And he's coming, we're moving. And I said, I'll move you into the new flat. He said, absolutely not. I cannot trust you as
far as... He's like, I'm on to you, lady. Linda, thank you so much for talking to me. I knew it was going to be fun, and it was.
You thought it was fun.
Yeah, exactly. I knew that I was going to be the only one who thought it was fun.
For
That's
me,
what I meant to say.
It was a bit of a chore, I have to say.
Exactly. Yeah, so and thank you for the cheese and onion sandwiches, which you instinctively
had
on hand. Yeah.
And not everybody likes them because they go, I don't want a stink of onion. Why not?
Yeah,
What's
nobody's waiting for you at home, motherfucker.
Or, as my hair colorist just said to me, I said, should I get my roots done? And he said, no, because the front's not bad. I said, but the back. He said, Linda, does anybody look at you when you walk away anymore? I said, no, actually, they don't.
They said that?
My hairdresser. He is very funny.
Amazing.
Beautiful.
Does anybody look at you when you walk away
beautiful
anymore?
Beautiful gay guy. He said, does anybody look at you when you walk away? I said, Tony, that is a great point.
Wow.
The answer to that is 9.
Sounds like my kind of guy. I hope that was as much of a joy for you beautiful creatures as it was for me. That's the last in my premiere podcast series. Thank you for coming along for the ride with me. Watch this space for more podcast shenanigans, if you will, in the near future.
Sound design is by Peregrin Andrews. Additional sound, John Pearson. My incredible manager is Fiona Glenn-Jones, the double-barrel bitch of the North.
And from Storyglass, the executive producer is Alex Hollins. Head of production is Carrie Luter. And this was produced by the wonderful Rachel Hooper. Walk on air for Storyglass.
Could you please leave me the fuck alone now? Because I'm very tired.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.